This is Talk Is Cheap. You're with Bill Benica, and you're with Eric Marola today. And I, for some reason, I got Eric all confused. I've had so many people from the film festival that I feel bad. I thought Eric was from Southern California, but Eric is from New York, because I've talked to so many different people. You're the one I was talking about because I grew up in Jersey.
Right.
And you were talking about that. There you go. All right. And you were saying, well, I got to get out of New York. It's cold, it's nasty, and it's, you know.
Yeah. Weird. 12 years is a long time to be anywhere, I think.
But do you live in the city itself?
Yeah, I live in Manhattan.
Really?
Way up north in Inwood near the Cloisters Park.
Yeah. Oh, I remember as a young lad going to the Cloisters Park.
Oh, yeah.
It's religious or something, isn't it?
Well, not anymore, I don't think.
Didn't it start out as a nunnery or something?
I think, yes. Well, it's like an old Rockefeller estate, apparently. I don't know about much of the religious background,
okay,
but Bette Midler has stepped in and like renovated much of it, and there's a restaurant there now, and it's a pretty nice place to go and relax now.
It used to be just a dreary little affair, you know what I mean? And as a kid, they dragged you there just to annoy you instead of going to the zoo.
Right.
So, you got to get some class here. You got to see the cloisters. Okay, yeah, right, Dad. Thanks a lot. All right, Eric, let me. So here, our movie, once again, is tomorrow, 12 noon. 12 noon. Please make a note of that, because the thing, when you go through the film festival guide, the thing that I'm using to tell people about stuff is the thing that has the little captions and pictures and all that. And so here it says it's 1 o'clock. Now, elsewhere in the guide, Eric tells me that it does say the right time. But so I want to make sure you know it's 12 noon, not 1 o'clock. Do not show up at 1 o'clock. You will have missed it. Don't miss it. So the very first question we need to ask, of course, Eric, is how did you get involved in all this?
Well, I've always been very moved by documentary films, and while working in television post-production and film post-production, I've never taken on a movie before myself. And this was just a subject that came across my lap, and I just became quickly obsessed with it. And one thing led to another. I tried to get in contact with the doctor, Dr. Brzezinski. I tried to reach out to some of his patients. And what started out as a film just talking about his treatment and about his patients blossomed into something much, much bigger. And I guess like many documentary filmmakers, you start out with one idea and it ends up evolving into something much more exciting. And that's exactly what happened. So I didn't really set out to do it as much as it just...
So your background, have you done film before this?
I've worked on a lot of documentary films, and like I did an animated short in Michael Moore's Capitalism, A Love Story. It was his most recent film. There's like where George Bush is at the microphone, and you see all the chaos behind him. I animated and directed that little piece. Things like that. Just a lot of animation in my background.
But what happens here is, and this is what these film festivals are so important, and we need to have people understand the portent of this, and that is the fact that when these films that people do for these film festivals are well received, you know, this is a boost in your career. This moves you up a notch, you know, and helps you out.
Right.
You know. I don't know how you're going to miss with this, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's an amazing story.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. Of all the things I've taken on in the past, it's always been a little bit about me because it's your project. But this story, I feel almost kind of detached from it because it's just such an unbelievable story. I just happened to be the guy that was lucky enough to tell it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's nicely said.
So.
So, Eric, give us, and again, I don't want to ruin, I always am careful with these interviews because I don't want to screw things up for people. There are two things. People are going to want to ask you more questions after the movie tomorrow. And the other thing is I want people to, you know, but we can talk about what this movie's about, and still, the when we see it unfold before us, it's going to still be amazing, I'm sure of it. And so, let's talk a little bit about Dr. Brzezinski and what this movie's about and what his quest was and what your documentary's about.
Sure. The ending is like the big payoff.
So we're not going to tell the end right now.
But basically, in short, Dr. Brzezinski discovered a strain of peptides in human blood and urine back in the late 60s while he was getting his PhD in biochemistry that had never been recorded before in biomedical research. And long story short, he was very interested in these new peptides and realized that people that had cancer lacked these peptides in their blood and urine. So he hypothesized, well, you know, maybe I can extract these peptides from human donors, give them to people with cancer, maybe it would be helpful. Very, very early in the 70s. Today, it was very helpful, and today he's much more, he's refined it into a great deal, and he now synthesizes them. He no longer needs human donors. He hasn't done that since the late 70s, and he has a whole pharmaceutical industry that he runs and owns that produces this medicine, and he has a clinic in which he delivers the medicine. But, you know, as with anything that when you're changing a paradigm this big, like cancer treatment, he got a lot of resistance from the established order of things. And the federal government and the state government tried very hard to shut him down. And without any real good reason, other than perhaps he's curing cancer in a non-toxic, novel way that is, you know, far surpasses, you know, sort of some of the technology that we're using today. So that's where the part of what the film takes you. It takes you through that story. You see the birth of the treatment and see how the state government and federal government tried to take him out of commission. And they went so far. I mean, he went through five different grand juries for the FDA trying to indict him on charges they were never able to stick. And one of the jokes were, in one of the congressional hearings were, you know, you people, you prosecutors say you can prosecute a ham sandwich, but you can't prosecute this man. Why do you keep having grand juries against this man? He's clearly not doing anything wrong. So anyway, but so his treatment is still not available to everyone, unfortunately. It's still tied up in FDA clinical trials. There's three phases, you know, phase one, two, and three. He just finished phase two and is beginning phase three, and which is very exciting, except that the federal government refuses to hand over any financial aid to his clinical trials. Well, at the same time, if, say, Pfizer was going through the same clinical trials to have a drug of theirs appear approved, you know, they get 10 or 15 million grants.
I was going to say, that's what I'm asking you. Yeah. So obviously the pressure, the government itself, the government's just a funnel for money anyway.
Sure.
As we've learned. So the government is basically is, this guy's not scratching their back, so what do we care? You know,
right.
Just, we'd rather get rid of them and let Pfizer and these other people, you know, and Squibb and Merck and all these other people come in here and give us money.
Right.
And that's a shame. And it is a shame because it reminds me of other situations where you see people that don't succeed somewhere. Bill Gates was a good example. Bill Gates, for the longest time, really didn't understand how he had to not grease the wheels exactly, but he had to learn who he had to deal with and how to deal with them. You know, he used to just sort of ignore politicians and politics and all that. Well, then when he came, everyone wanted to file these huge class action suits against him, or they wanted to accuse him of monopolizing. All of a sudden, he realized, well, I just can't sit there and sit in my office making funny programs. I better find out how to do this. And
right.
This sounds like Brzezinski's problem. Dr. Brzezinski is that, you know, he's a doctor. That's what he does.
Right. That's exactly right. Except, you know, even today, that's really what he's concerned himself with. He's always, you know, let, you know, the attorneys deal with all the frontline battles that he's had to deal with. And his patients have come to his aid a lot. And in fact, if they didn't, his patients were traveling all over. In the 1990s is when the legal battles really came to a head. And his patients traveled from all over the country to come down to D.C. and be a part of these congressional hearings and stand up saying, look, I've been, you know, in remission since for the last 10 years. I've never had chemo and radiation. I've been cured. My kid's cured. Look at me. Look at my family. Why are you doing this? So, and they're the ones that, you know, saved him, you know, really. He just stood his ground and was willing to go to prison for it because he knew he was right. And again, I guess it's one of those times where, you know, I guess goodness prevails, and so far it has for him.
So let me understand this again, though. He was threatened with prison because what they were basically saying was he was practicing a medical technique that was not approved?
It's kind of a convoluted sort of situation. Basically, in Texas at the time, when he came from Poland initially, and he got a job at Baylor College Medical School in Texas, and he got a teaching job there while they funded him to study his peptides. And the NCI, the National Cancer Institute, actually gave him money at the time to study his peptides. So after a little bit of time with that, he talked to some attorneys and wanted to find out if he could legally open his own clinic and just start treating people with this without going through the whole process. And to his luck, at the time, the Texas state government did not have the same restrictions as any other state, Texas sort of being the renegade state. FDA could not interfere with him as long as he didn't practice anything he did outside of the state of Texas or sent his medicine across state lines. So it was this wonderful loophole that he had working for him. And the FDA was made aware. They said, this is what we're going to do. And they said, okay, well, you're not breaking any laws. And here's our legal opinion letter, you know, to the Texas Medical Board. And they're like, okay, well, what can we do? You're clearly working within the confines of our law. And he had his first cure in 1977 and continued to cure people. Not 100%. It wasn't like some magic bullet because it was still in its infancy and still technically is sort of today in many respects. So as soon as they started curing people and people started traveling from all over the country and became well known, and he was on Oprah Winfrey in 1985, he was on Jesse Raphael, and people, he caused a huge stir very early on. And it was at that point that suddenly the Texas Medical Board stepped up on the state level and just started arbitrarily filing these weird complaints that couldn't stick to take away his medical license, and it never stuck. And then the federal government came in at the same time, what the federal government wanted to do was accuse him of interstate commerce, which was shipping the medicine across state lines, and that's what the whole court case was about, and mostly about. And they couldn't prove any of it because he didn't have any intention of doing so. So he walked away.
You know what people have to really put in their mind here, and this is what's also amazing about this. And when you go see this at noon, 12 o'clock tomorrow in the downtown center, and I'll be there. I'm going to go see it. So you go at noon tomorrow, and you put this in your mind. Think of the timeline we're talking about here. We're talking about 30 years, and after all of this shenanigans for this poor man, and I'll say it nicely that way, after all of that, now he's just entering a third phase of clinical trials, you know, which is what, like you say, if someone hadn't, you know, raised a flag or something or given all this grief, that would have happened years ago.
Right.
You know, there hasn't been a product forever that's taken 30 years to put on the market.
No.
Matter of fact, nowadays the opposite's the problem. You know, they get them on the market 3 weeks and they kill everybody. So that's like craziness.
Right. For instance, a drug called Gleevec, which is a cancer drug that has been one of the most recent sort of approved cancer drugs out there, that's very popular, sells very well, and a lot of people take it. I believe it's mainly for primarily leukemia, but aside the point, that was approved in 3 or 4 months from inception. Of submitting to the FDA to approval to market 3 to 4 months. And this man has been trying to get his drug approved since 1977.
I got to throw this word out because I practiced it and I want to make sure I say it right, okay? I get to say it first. Antineoplastins, is
perfect.
That right?
That's
what I do on that, antineoplastins. Yep. So perfect. This is all about you're calling them peptides because it's easier for people to say, but I got to use the fancy word. Antineoplastins is what it's about.
I'd like to tell you a little bit more about antineoplastins quickly, too. It's more than just replenishing the body with these peptides. When the Human Genome Project was given birth in the early 90s, he understood what he was doing. He didn't have a full understanding of why he was curing cancer other than the basic hypothesis he came up with initially. But when the Human Genome Project arose, he found out that what he was doing was targeting the genes in your system. Not your DNA genes as we normally think. We're talking about the genes that, you know, as you get older, when you start losing hair, your hair goes gray, you have some genes that are shutting off in your system.
Right, right.
And you have the same problem when people have cancer, which is why people that are older generally get cancer versus people younger. But nonetheless, there's a genetic action happening in your system. And what the antineoplastins do is they target those genes. There are some genes on the market today, or cancer drugs on the market that target genes, yes, but they only target one or two genes. Antineoplastins target, you know, well over 100. So it has a much larger playing field to work with.
My guest today is, by the way, Eric Merola, and Eric's done this documentary on Dr. Brzezinski and this amazing battle to bring this thing to the public, to bring his theory and his technique and his remedy for cancer, and as Eric mentioned, not all cancers, you know, but something that, you know, seems to help a lot of people, and this is what Eric's documentary is about. How long did you spend with the doctor? How long did this documentary take you?
My first communication with him, I think, it was nearly 3 years ago, I've been in constant communication with him with email and his assistants and staff pretty much ever since. But as far as my personal FaceTime with him, I think I've gone through, I had one long 5-hour audio interview with him, and then and two good 4 or 5 hour video interviews with him, as far as like FaceTime. And I've spent a lot of time at his facility where he manufactures the drug. I spent a whole day there. I spent a whole day at his clinic. I've traveled all over the nation interviewing his patients. So it's more than just really him. As much as you learn just as much from the patients themselves, and you meet these people and you sit down in their living rooms and they look at you, they're like, I had a glioblastoma grade 4, that's what Ted Kennedy had, you know, no one lives through this, it doubles in size every 30 days, and I've been cancer free of this thing for the last 8 years, and the only cancer treatment I ever had was antineoplastins. So it's fascinating. It's wow. Very fascinating. And again, he doesn't have 100% cure, but the ones that it does work, it's
I was going to say, better record than peach pits down in Mexico.
Right, right.
Ask Steve McQueen.
It's certainly not Laetril. This is not, you know, this is much more advanced.
It's just an amazing, I think this tale is so amazing. And the other thing, too, to know about this movie is, if I'm not going to look, I'm going to guess I'm right, is it 108 minutes?
Yes, actually, it's 104 now.
104, what I'm saying is it's a full-length feature movie. Sure. I know some of the things we see at the film festival will short jobs the last 8-10 minutes or less, but this is a full-blown affair.
Yep.
And because your wife is here and had a chance to meet her, did she help you with this or just stand behind you and say, get working?
Yeah, she's been very, very patient through the process, actually, because I've sort of been like a one-man army working on this film, and it's just, if it wasn't for my wife, I don't know if I would have ever gotten it done. But no, she's definitely been like my biggest cheerleader. So,
how great. Yeah, I'm happy for that. Yeah. I think this is going to be fabulous. I want to mention to you once again, it's a 12 noon tomorrow. It's called Brzezinski and Brzezinski the Movie. And it was scheduled. We showed it, part of the schedule, they show it at 1 o'clock in the Film Fest schedule. And it's not at 1 o'clock. It's at 12 noon. And I'm glad, because if I had not interviewed you today, I would have been staying there at 1 o'clock.
Right.
What happened to my movie here, pal?
It'd be okay if we call out the website, because
you can absolutely do anything you want to.
Okay. Well, it's just because the trailers are really dramatic people really kind of get their head around this film when they get a chance to see the trailers on the website. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's www.brzezinskimovie.com. It's spelled BRZYNSKI movie.com. So please check it out. And I've got a lot of additional information on it. You can see some patient interviews. But again, I think the trailers is what people really need to see and help get them out there. I think they'll...
Cool. Yeah. So go to the trailers and see what it's about. And then I think it'll pique your interest to go and be at the Downtown Cinemas tomorrow at 12 noon. Is there... again, I want to be careful. I don't want to ask every question somebody else is going to ask you, and I don't want to give everything away, so we're not going to do that. Is there anything else you'd like to add about it?
Not really. I think I've pretty much covered my bases. I just, it's one of those movies that it's very difficult to talk about verbally, which is one of the reasons why I took it on almost alone, because it's such a gigantic story and so powerful that it's just, you just have, the only way you can see it, frankly, is in a form of a film, frankly. So
how cool. Yeah. Eric and his wife, by the way, were taken down to Avila Beach, and I had to, if you've never seen Avila Beach, now I had explained to him, I said, what you've seen is not really what it is. And of course, they looked at me and said, this guy must be Bill Benica. So actually, I explained what happened with Union Oil, the whole thing. But it's anyway, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you have beautiful weather on the Central Coast, because I know back east it's gone crazy here for a while.
Yeah.
And how long have you been out here?
I'll be here until the 22nd.
Oh, really?
We just got here last night. Yeah, so I'm going to be here for the...
A little vacation time.
Absolutely.
Good for you. Yeah. Now, is there, out of curiosity, when you guys do this film festival thing, and you have all you guys that are directors and producers and people that understand this movie business, are there movies that you particularly want to see in the film festival, or do you just sort of say, I want to see anything, or
actually,
I want to see nothing, or how do you go about it?
There's one, I'm not sure if it's passed or not, but the film about the mainstream media looks very fantastic, and then also the Pentagon Papers one that was recently nominated for an Academy Award, that one looks fantastic. I think I'm going to try and see that this evening.
That was in the movie today. That's in the newspaper today here, so that's going to be the Pentagon Papers, and let me see here. Do you know right off the top when it is?
I believe it's tonight.
Yeah, it is tonight. I'm sorry. Screening tonight. Most Dangerous Man in America, Daniel Ellsberg, and that's at 7 o'clock at the Downtown Center Cinemas, unless it's been changed, of course, and that's tonight. And that should be interesting also.
Yeah. Actually, I do have, if it's okay.
You can do anything. What do you mean, is it okay?
okay.
It's my show. Do whatever you want.
All right. Well, this is my first time this film is screened, actually, in this sort of hemisphere, I suppose, almost. It screened in Australia last week, and I wasn't able to attend. So to me, this is sort of like the world premiere. However, I want to let the listeners know, since it's in the general area, that it'll be also at Newport Beach Film Festival on April the 25th.
Okay.
And there's all Dateline NBC is currently underway doing a special on this man. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. There may or may not be myself in it, but they might be attending that, maybe. Interview some patients. And
I would certainly hope they'd involve you in that.
Sure.
You know,
I just don't want to get, you know,
no, that's
excited.
Okay. But that's really cool. I think, and I would, like I say, you've chronicled this man's struggles, and I would certainly hope they'd include you in that. And I think I find that very exciting. That's good news.
That's just what is so exciting about this man, is I feel like I've somehow magically sort of found this guy. The timing of it couldn't be better, because I already sort of wrapped up this film with this man, and all of a sudden, you know, Suzanne Summers just wrote a book who featured this man. Dateline NBC's been, you know, talking to him. He was just on Oprah Radio. He might maybe be on Oprah this year. It's just very interesting that he's just going to begin to be splattered all over the mainstream media, I think, this year. So this film is just sort of like, you know, Brzezinski 101.
It just happened to come at the right time, yeah. Right thing, everything for you, and your life was working out that way. Yeah. Now, what do you, given, let's say, accolades beyond belief between here in Newport Beach and everybody wants to throw money at you, what would you like to do next? Do you have any idea at all? Do you have anything in your mind going on?
Sure. Because of the important nature of it and people are so moved by it, I don't think it's because of me as a filmmaker as much as the story itself is just phenomenal and emotional and just very powerful. But no, we're going to release this in New York City and Los Angeles late May to early June. We're going to have a formal theatrical release.
Cool.
That would obviously be done because anyone that wants to try to get the Academy Awards running, that's sort of what you have to do. So if those do well, then we're going to continue letting it bounce through other cities and then, you know, try to go to DVD soon after. We have been showing it to some television networks and such, and the only one so far that seems to even become close to having the courage of maybe stepping up is maybe PBS.
Right.
It's a very controversial film, right. And a lot of mainstream outlets kind of shy away from it. It seems so far. Anyway.
Although, and this is one of our sponsors and, of course, a friend of ours, and where a lot of the other movies are showing is the Palm Theater. I'm wearing a shirt.
Right.
it seems like a Palm Theater type of movie. It's the kind of movie that Jim D would, you know, just get his teeth sunk into,
yeah.
and show. I mean, I can really feel it.
We would love to have it back in here for like a full week run.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
That'd be one, but yes, this is a fantastic town. We'd love to do it. So.
Eric Merola has been my guest, and we have the Brzezinski, the movie. I think it's going to be a fascinating thing, an amazing story. And don't forget, give me the website again.
It's right there at the bottom of the
card. Oh, wait, I got my card. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
All right.
www.brzezinskimovie.com. So, or just Google it. It's 10 times easier.
Yeah.
Brzezinskimovie.com. Brzezinskimovie.com. You'll be able to see some trailers. And don't forget, once again, the movie's at 12 noon. If you know of anybody else that was thinking of seeing this movie, has mentioned to you this movie, please tell them it's at 12 noon tomorrow, not 1 o'clock, in case that's what time they think it's going to be.
And they're recommending people show up at 11:30, frankly, because...
That's true. Yeah, that's cool.
All right.
Well, I thank you very much for taking the time. It's very nice to have you and your wife out here. I thank you very much for bringing them out, because they had a concierge to cart them around here.
Yes,
really
Mary
great.
Wood has been my hero.
You know why? Because Eric called me and he said, nobody seems to know where you really located. You know, so something about airplanes and whatnot. And I go, oh, okay, fine. We'll see if we can find somebody who knows what they're doing. Anyway, so thank you very much for doing that.
Yes.
And Eric, the best of luck. I'll see you tomorrow at the show.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.